Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and if you've been listening to this program, you know that it's a lot about the UFO presence, the coming disclosure, the situation this planet is in as far as extraterrestrial beings visiting us, and of course, for most people, we know that is not just something to believe. It's a reality. And if you've were paying attention to the New York Times last December 16th, 17th, 2017, there was a front page article talking about the Pentagon program for studying this unidentified aerial phenomena. And I'm going to be talking to Alexander Rojas today, the founder of Open Mind TV and coordinator for UFO Congress, about that program that the Pentagon had, and Luis Alexandro, who was part of that program and left that program in order to join Tom DeLonge and other people to run a new organization called To the Stars. So thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
The interesting thing about ETs and UFOs is that it's not a matter of the aliens themselves. It's a matter of our government. That's the biggest question here. Why can't we just know and be transparent that there are beings visiting us and start to welcome the mysteries of the universe into everyday life? Would you agree with that, or you have other ideas?
No, I think that over the years, the government and the Air Force struggled with the topic. Certainly, you know, there's this impression that the government has thought that this is all hogwash, but we know that not to be the case. You know, from books or stories about investigations and people coming out of the government, like Luis Elizondo, who tell us, you know, there's been a big concern. You know, there's a lot of hidden stories that have occurred, or we've become aware of now that Lou Elizondo is out and talking, and others have been doing investigation, and we kind of have something to investigate. And it tells a really interesting story, and I think some of these are getting lost. So one of those, for example, is that, you know, Lou Elizondo had alluded to this, and George Knapp had done some investigation to find this. And then recently Lou has written about this community inside of the government of religious people. Mm. And now they are believers. They believe there's a real phenomena, but they believe that it's related to the devil. Mm. And Nick Redfern has written a book about this, and he talks about kind of there's two sides to this religious group. There is a smaller faction that actually wants to try to, they believe it's satanic, but they want to understand Satan's technology and powers essentially so they can achieve them themselves. And then there's a larger faction who just says, hey, this is satanic, we have to stay away from it. I think it's interesting to find how influential these people were to help, according to Louise and others, you know, quash this paranormal, these paranormal investigations, including into UFOs and things. So that's an interesting revelation as well. But it just demonstrates it's not as simple as kind of the story we've been sold.
I totally agree. It is not a simple situation at all, just saying, hey, guess what? We are being visitors. I would think for those fundamentalists who don't want this information out, who want to, you know, really squash that and keep it hidden, that's the problem we have with religion in general, dictating ideologies of thought to a population and manipulating the freedom of information. We have to overcome that. And I think as far as Luis Alexandro, talk a little bit about him. He was working with the Pentagon. He left the Pentagon, I think, voluntarily to join Tom DeLonge's organization To the Stars, which seems to be at the forefront of disclosure. What would you say about him?
Fortunately, began at least somewhat of a relationship with him during the International UFO Congress in February, just prior to that. And here's kind of what happened. So here's how I came into it. Luckily, I've been working with Tom DeLonge a bit. Years ago, he had a website called Strange Times, and he would work with Open Minds and repost some of our stories. And this is when he was starting getting into normal, and at least publicly, and he had this website about the paranormal. Well, we worked together on and off, and then I got this call, or at least I had tried to get him to come to the conference. And there was this he was sending these messages and saying he's working with these government insiders. He wasn't just telling us at Open Minds, but he was telling this to the public. And then it came out that he had to leave his band, Blink-182, because he's working on this UFO project. As time came out, he said he felt that, you know, we were being attacked by aliens, essentially. And that's the story. And that's why the government's hiding it, because it's evil and mean. It turned out through WikiLeaks that he was really speaking with these government officials and, you know, important people, a general who used to run the labs at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. That's where Project Blue Book was ran. That's where Tom DeLonge believes, and others, that, you know, Roswell spacecraft was parts were taken there. Of course, Colonel Corso worked out headed the Department of Foreign Technology out of Wright-Patterson. Colonel Corso was a colonel in the Army who said that he worked with parts from Roswell. He worked with someone with Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, who, you know, these are the people who built and run Area 51. So some really important people. So because it came out through unintentionally through WikiLeaks that he was working with these people, you know, we gave him this award a couple of years ago at the Congress, and that made a lot of news. And he was promising my audience and us that some bigger news was coming. This was in February, what, 2017, and we didn't hear anything for a long time. And then I get this call: "Hey, you've got to install Signal, and you got to give me a call." Signal is an app where you can, it encrypts your phone call so no one can tap in and hear it. So I installed it and called, and he's like, "I'm about to make my big announcement." And a couple days later, he did. He asked for some input. And this announcement was that he was creating this To the Stars organization. And inside of this organization were a lot of government insiders. And incidentally, some people associated with Bigelow Aerospace and Robert Bigelow, who has been a paranormal researcher and now is a big deal in the aerospace industry, a very rich person who, kind of like Elon Musk, decided to get into space. It was really interesting. But there was this guy, Luis Elizondo, that was part of this group. And he said that he had ran a UFO project for the Pentagon, which shocked a lot of us, because it's like, you know, we've been getting FOIA documents, working with NORAD or the Air Force or other government agencies, and they always tell us, "Nope, we don't have any UFO files, no UFO files, or we lost our UFO files." Right. You know, I think the Black Vault is a great resource for some of that material. His story was, when we got to kind of interview him and get to know him, and now luckily I have got to know him and hang out with him a few times, he says that actually, while he was, because of all of this, well, essentially they were doing investigations. And although he wasn't sure about this whole thing, he discovered, you know, UFOs are a real thing. And he felt the government was not sharing information with the public or taking this seriously enough. So he left. He also had done some really rough work. I mean, the other sort of intelligence work he had done was with counterterrorism. So, you know, terrorists were after him. I mean, they knew he was part of these people organizing this battle with terrorists. High stakes games, you know, really kind of scary stuff. So he retired, he left, and he was going to go into the civilian world, but he wasn't necessarily, when he left, going to, you know, immediately get into speaking out about UFOs. He wanted to research and get involved very quickly. There were people, because Bigelow had worked with his organization, people inside the Bigelow organization came to him and said, "Hey, you know, there's Tom DeLonge working on this stuff. You should maybe join them." And Tom DeLonge and others got a hold of him, and he said, "Sure, I'll do it." And so he joined their group, the To the Stars, in that way. So in a way, Tom DeLonge facilitated this in making a space for somewhere here for him to go.
Okay, because I didn't realize that history. I thought he quit the Pentagon with the intention of joining To the Stars. That's what the sequence of events seemed to have laid out.
I think you're right. I think most people feel that way. Most people, because there hasn't been a lot of delving into the details of that history, But that is interesting. You know, I think that it's important to know that, yeah, he left without a real plan and then was scooped up by Tom DeLonge into
right,
the Stars.
Right, because his resignation was one day before To the Stars. So maybe he was playing on it,
right.
and then he just realized this was this organization. But getting back to his revelation of working with the Pentagon Aerospace Threat Program that came out in that New York Times article, he realized, yes, there are definitely UFOs there, but how deep, in your opinion, did he get into the whole field? You know, it's not just that there's abductions, there's so much genetic manipulation, hybrids. I mean, how deep do you feel like, in your personal context, if you want to share that, he is aware of the levels and levels that are involved in this subject?
He's aware of many of the levels. However, like he said, he has not really researched the field at least while he was in the Pentagon. And the reason being that he felt he didn't want to be tainted. He wanted for his investigation to be pure. So what they went out and discovered on their own, you know, they wanted that data to stand for itself and to guide them in their investigations. And that what that data to him demonstrated is that there were incursions, essentially, or airspace had at these aircraft that demonstrated technology beyond our own, that was also intelligent, that was manipulating, you know, being able to fly around, and we couldn't do anything about it. Even if we scrambled jets, we couldn't catch these things. They kind of played with us. And so that's kind of the conclusion he had come to. And so it's only recently he's gotten more awareness of what's going on out there. For credibility's sake, he holds his beliefs kind of very close to the chest. There's a difference between what you discover in an investigation and what you can prove, and a difference as opposed to your opinion. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want that his opinion to taint what, you know, they feel that they've found and they can prove. But I know he certainly feels, you know, there's a lot more going on. He's not so sure about Tom DeLonge's ideas.
About being negative aliens?
To be honest, Tom DeLonge, once the New York Times article came out in December and outed kind of Louise, everything that he had done with the Pentagon and the association with Bigelow Aerospace and how they had gotten these funds to do these investigations, ever since that moment, they've gotten, you know, a huge scrutiny from the public. So Tom DeLonge has been more careful not to talk about his opinions either, for the same reasons. They're just opinions. They're not necessarily provable facts, right, until he can come out and prove some of these things, which apparently he believes he can. I don't know that his opinion has changed a whole lot because he was pretty set in his ideas prior. And he says that his opinions were formed by government insiders, but we don't know necessarily who those people were. His opinions were more along the lines that there was a battle. And right now he feels that there's the tipping point where the Air Force has figured out how to defend the country. And that's what he felt was an opening, that now perhaps they could be more open about talking about what they know. Now, I've also talked to other members of To the Stars, some of those other people that were in the CIA or in other intelligence, Jim Semivan, and they do not agree with Tom DeLonge either. In fact, Jim and others have said they never came across any information officially, so they don't know. They're not saying that it doesn't exist. In fact, they're very open to it, and some of them are open to, you know, they believe some of these ideas that you just mentioned.
Well, not only believe it, Jim Semivan had an abduction encounter experience that he's very open about. So
right,
he knows for sure. I mean, we don't really know what that abduction phenomenon really entails, because no one has, I mean, there's been people regressed and remembering, but we don't really understand it. I mean, it exists for sure. I think maybe I've had those experiences and other people I know, but but it's hard to pin down what exactly that interaction is. We can say it has happened, I think. I mean, of course, like in that article, they mentioned Kit Green and the, I think, the trauma markers in people's brains who've had certain encounters. So in a way, that is proof that there is something going on. It's not about belief, right? Isn't that a factor in all this, the Kit Green studies?
It's a factor in that it alludes to something, but it's not necessarily provable fact. I mean, in that we don't necessarily understand all the inner workings and mechanics. However, what I guess I'm getting at is Kit Green as an example. Throughout history, there's been these moments where essentially mainstream scientists have been able to do full-fledged real research in this arena. However, it's rare that that happens. And in the general public, you know, funds are very low and these things are typically very expensive to do. So I think what we have here, what's unique is that we have, you know, at least a set group of people who through their own personal experiences or otherwise have decided this is something that's important, that I believe they're telling the truth, that they are unaware of any deeper things going on within the government, although they don't deny that could be the case. In fact, it could be. They're just like us. They're interested. They're more educated as how the government works. They were in there. And so they're using all of these skills to try to themselves come up with more answers. The advantage is that they have connections to mainstream science and that they have more resources at their disposal so they can discover more, and their information will be taken more seriously than those of us who, you know, have been doing this independently in the past. So it's a good thing.
But this is where it gets very complex and convoluted and messy, because there's people like Bob Lazar coming out, who have come out and said, you know, there's this whole secret space program they've developed, craft. There's a whole technology based on that is one faction of the government that may exist. I mean, what does Luis Alejandro say about that faction?
He says just kind of like what he says with Tom DeLonge's stuff, at least thus far, is that he's not aware of any of that. He does not know officially that any of that has actually occurred or is really happening. Right. And that's about as far as he will go, because, again, he doesn't want to taint things with his opinions. You're right. And it does make it strange. So here's what's really strange about it and difficult and very interesting. I think this is such an incredible story right now, because Bigelow Aerospace, some of their scientists, or at least one in particular, Eric Davis, has been adamant that Bob Lazar is full of it. His science doesn't work. There's no way he's got to be lying. And there's kind of a split within these guys. Some of them agree with it. Some of them don't. One of the biggest guys that was kind of involved with Bigelow and the group and his friends with everyone is George Knapp, the journalist out of Las Vegas who broke the Bob Lazar story and is probably Bob Lazar's biggest supporter.
Yes.
He believes Lazar, and he is the guy who's put out the best evidence to show that there could be something there. So you do have kind of these struggles within the group and the people involved. So it could be a situation. People, even George might have, I think, has alluded to this, that they might not know that Bob Lazar's program could have been going on, but, you know, it's a need-to-know basis. These guys were not in the need to know, so they were not they aren't aware. So they could be like us, just so much on the outside regarding what could be going on. That, but luckily they have more access and they have friends on the inside, so at least they have more of ability to figure out the truth. Here's what you're not going to find, though, and this is, I think, what disappoints people. You're not going to know what they're researching or what they're finding until they have evidence. And that is a good, credible way to do things, is that, you know, you don't come forward and talk about a topic until you have something to say and something compelling to say. So it could be I don't know that this is the case. This is pure speculation. Right. But let's say they are looking into Lazar. Mm-hmm. And the next thing we hear is that they've got some evidence that, you know, he really was doing this. That's the sort of thing. There's a lot that goes on with their efforts that they don't really want to make public until they have something more substantial to say. And that protects their credibility.
Well, it does more than, I think, protects, sorry to interrupt you, but I had to jump in because it does more than protect their credibility. It protects that faction of the government. Let's say it's true. Let's say they have been reverse engineering crash ships since Roswell. It protects whoever, that faction of the government that wants to keep that secret and wants to keep it separate from, if we can believe Luis Alejandro, that faction of the government that has no idea, the same people who said to Goldwater, no, we can't tell you what's going on here, or Jimmy Carter, or all these people that have started from what we call the government, seemingly to be in control of this alternate power.
That's what's important, is that at least this group of people, and at least from my experience from talking to them directly, it does feel this way, that they are taking up the mantle to essentially be, to champion people who want answers, tackling this effort to get this information out. And they have luckily more connections and resources to do this than we do, just a general citizen out there in the public. So that can be helpful. And I think that's what, there hasn't really been a public stand from insiders to say, look, we want and need these answers. There's been one-offs here and there. Jay Allen Hynek was one of those people. I think that, you know, Kit Green or some of these individuals involved right now as individuals have been there to try to ask for questions or get answers. Bigelow Aerospace, I think they were trying to do that. So now I think it's a continuation of that. And even if you are of the mind that there is a disclosure type of thing going on, what they're doing also allows a vessel for people on the inside who want to get out information to do that in a more credible manner, knowing full well that it is something mysterious and that it is evidence of a mystery. And that's one of the things that To the Stars is doing, is examining materials. So that if they could be come out and say, we've done this full scientific analysis, we have very strong evidence that this is technology that was created from elsewhere, opening up the door and moving things towards a type of disclosure in a subtle way.
There's also the possibility that there, in the deeper levels of government, there are people who really know what's going on. They feel it's time to release the secret, and they called people like Tom DeLonge in because he was sort of invited, and even though he was curious, to form this organization. So he becomes the spokesperson for this inner state disclosure cabal, if you want to call it that.
That is completely possible. Mm-hmm. It would be, and that is possible with or without the knowledge of To the Stars and all the members of the organization.
But if we go deeper into the To the Stars agenda, let's say, okay, we have some footage that is of this craft that seems to not be of this earth or man-made, though that's just the very superficial level, you know. But Hopkins used to say, well, there are people see ships out there, but they don't ask, well, who's flying them? Where did they come from? I mean, there's other levels. So is there an agenda for To the Stars? Say, okay, we'll release these evidence that they're a craft, and we have evidence that they may be from here, or we may have found bodies. I mean, do they have a plan of action?
I don't totally know what that plan is, because they do hold their cards close to the vest. But at least I have a little more insight, and we've gotten a little more insight. Essentially, here's the story. Over the years, there have been people interested in UFOs. We've done investigations. Insiders have said there's something to this, but the guys at the top have said, no, we're shutting this down because we don't know what to do with it. It's a PR nightmare. It's too freaky. It's too goofy. Finally, there's some headway where government insiders and politicians are open to doing a real investigation UFOs for the first time in history. Now, that is kind of the surface parts. What these guys are doing is trying to be also the grease in the wheels of getting all of this rolling. Elizondo has been very public. He's not the official spokesperson for To the Stars, but everybody wants to hear from him because he worked with for this program. He's kind of backpedaled a little bit and said in his most recent article or post that I shouldn't be that person, but I should be talking to and getting the people who should be those people out and talking about it and doing real research and investigation. And to that end, one of the things that they've done in greasing the wheels is that we've got kind of this information hasn't been really full-blown public, but Politico, for example, has written about it. And Nick Pope has written about it for The Guardian, that centrally Washington has held meetings with a lot of these UFO witnesses. And there's kind of these ongoing meetings that are starting. One of the cases that Elizondo talked about investigating was this 2004 incident outside of San Diego with the Nimitz aircraft carrier strike group. The witnesses from that have talked to the House and Senate subcommittees on defense. They've also talked to the space subcommittee. You know, it was actually revealed in my podcast that Chase Kletsky from MUFON, who is the director of investigations there, was able to arrange and get 5 minutes in front of one of the congressional subcommittees as well. So now there's discussion going on about this topic. And at least Lou says that this is they've really gained a lot of ground. What does that mean? What would that result in? That's what's interesting. And according to Knapp and Elizondo and everybody involved, we probably will hear big news this year as far as what those results may be. Those results may be another government program, which, of course, many of us in the field will be skeptical of a government program. Even if they did do that, it lends a lot of legitimacy and credibility to the field. And all of a sudden, this topic and this research into all of this will be something that is okay to talk about, a real thing, as opposed to something to laugh about. So that's a cultural shift as far as answers and how quickly they may come. That's who knows.
But has Luis Elizondo see the 2013 citizens hearings for UFO disclosure? Has he sat down and watched that whole thing?
I don't know if he's watched the whole thing, but that was very informative. Yeah. However, much of that was conjecture, speculation, hearsay, you know, when it comes to intelligence, not the type of data that is really powerful and strong and not the type of data you can really necessarily digest and run with. I know I think some of us would disagree, but all of us disagree. I think if you ask any UFO researcher, if you had a budget or if you could be their advisor, what would you advise them to do? We'd probably all have different opinions. I think it is progress. And like you said, Jim Semivan had his own experience. And there's another big part of this I'll get into right now.
Please,
if that's okay.
Please.
The big part of this that also has not been really digested by the public or even I think the UFO community is that with George Knapp is like on the cutting edge of all the investigation and research into this. And that's because, you know, he knows all of these people, so he knows where to look. But he's also an excellent journalist, and he's digging for answers above, you know, what his friends may want him to look into. And he's uncovered a lot of stuff. One of the things that he's uncovered is ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Technology or Threat Identification Program, which Luis Elizondo ran for the Pentagon. The New York Times wrote that they're the ones who received this $22 million to investigate UFOs. Luis does confirm his program, ATIP, was essentially looking at UFOs. However, it's been revealed through George Knapp's work that no, it wasn't actually ATIP that received that funding. It was another program called AWSAP, Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program. And the origins of this and what they looked at is pretty shocking. The origins is some people are aware that Bigelow did this investigation to this ranch, Skinwalker Ranch.
Right.
Yes. With a ton of paranormal stuff. UFO, potentially aliens, but these portals opening. You know, we had scientists, including this skeptical scientist who doesn't believe Lazar, was there, and he tells this story of this portal opening and this creature crawling out in the middle of the night. So he's got his own wild stories to tell. All of this weirdness that happened at this ranch. Well, in 2005, and things had died down, and Bigelow bought this ranch in the 90s. A lot of activity happening. George Knapp was documenting it in hopes of creating a documentary. That didn't happen, but he did write stories occasionally he could tell. And finally, things kind of died down. Activity died down in the early 2000s. And George said, well, this would be a good time to write a book. And so he got the okay, go ahead. So he worked with that Bigelow's head scientist, Colm Kelleher, and they wrote this book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, in 2005. Amazing book, mind-blowing, the scientific investigation into this phenomena. And the scientist walked away believing that there was some sort of intelligence that was screwing with them that was smarter than they were. John Alexander, one of the guys involved, I think has come up with the best phrase. He called it a sentient precognitive intelligence. In other words, something that was smart, and it knew what we were going to do before we even did it. And they all agree with that, that this was going on.
You see that in crop circles as well, some of that evidence, you know. So
I think, and a lot of paranormal phenomena.
Yes, yes.
And so a DIA agent had heard about it, Defense Intelligence Agent, and he said, I would love to come and visit. They allowed him to. They rarely allow people. Even though there wasn't much activity, the very moment he got there, he had an experience. They will not disclose what this experience was or the name of this person, but it was a profound paranormal experience that this person had. This person went back to Washington, talked to Harry Reid, who was the senator for Nevada, and said, I know you know about what's going on there. We need to investigate this as a government agent, as you know, the government. Harry Reid agreed. They formed that money. And then they got that money and they formed this ASAP, Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program. This is a project that got the $2,000 or $22 million.
Right.
And this was, and their goal was not just UFOs, but the paranormal. In fact, one of the senior managers with Bigelow Aerospace wrote a piece for George Knapp to put out. Not many people read this, and to be honest, it was a bit buried. It seems like George also didn't want to make a big deal out of this, but it is a big deal. But what they said they investigated was a whole, here's a quote, panoply of diverse activity that included bizarre creatures, poltergeist activity, invisible entities, orbs of light, animal and human injuries, and more. They said that they used an approach of utilizing the human body as a readout system. So sort of a thing where somehow people could detect things. I mean, it's really archaic. They even said that the phenomena, the UFO phenomena, that they use this human body readout. Here's a quote. This novel approach aimed to circumvent the increasing evidence of deception and subterfuge by the UFO phenomenon.
Oh, so the UFO phenomenon is a sort of distraction from this greater paranormal reality? Is this what are they saying?
I don't know that they understood. They just felt that there was some deception involved with the UFO phenomenon, that these paranormal activities were happening. And this is from a manager who received, you know, $20 million or so in government funds to investigate all of this. This was a program that was shut down soon after because of these religious factions. And Luis Elizondo even just recently wrote something where he said these religious factions, even though he knows some of them and some of them are his friends, he just disagrees with them. They took down the guy who was running OSAP, whoever that was. We don't know who that was. But they destroyed his career in this campaign to destroy this program.
Wow.
And the program got shut down. That's when Elizondo was able to create ATIP during this period of time and then run it. And he said he just kept it very quiet because he didn't want to meet the same fate as his predecessor, you know, all these people
so
to
wait,
come
the,
after
the
him.
$22 million was originally given to investigate the Skinwalker Ranch, or is that a separate money, you're saying?
No, you're right. Yep, at the Skinwalker Ranch and other locations similar to it. We know have no idea what these other locations were.
Where the money first went to, because
exactly,
but that's so in contradiction to Harry Reid saying we put this out for a bid, which I never believed anyway, because he knew Bob Bigelow.
Oh no, it's not.
Oh,
well, supposedly they did put it out to a bid, and George Knapp covers that as well, and he talked about that it wasn't, you know, even though this guy wanted to investigate the Skinwalker, what happened is Harry Reid got the funds. This DIA agent said this paranormal stuff is going on. Harry Reid got the funds to investigate paranormal, but they didn't. First of all, Bigelow did not ask for them to do this. They approached him that they wanted to do this. And they did put out official bids. And
official bids, but I'm curious, did anyone else bid besides Bigelow? Or, I mean, was anyone else even know about that bid?
I believe that George Knapp said there was one other company that bid for it. But that was about it. But still, it was a...
But if you listen to Grant Cameron and his discussion about Ron Pandolfi, do you know Pandolfi covers the Weird Desk? Supposedly, Pandolfi knows about all these portals and has developed, along with Joe Firmage, portal technology that may or may not be related to what they found at Skinwalker. Can you talk about that at all?
I mean, what becomes difficult is when we try to connect dots without firm links, I think. And,
of course.
You know, and when we have just kind of secondhand information, it's difficult to know. Have they actually developed this portal technology? I don't know. And the hard part is that, you know, we don't have enough information to know that for sure. And if they did, it would be great if they were more out about it so we can understand it. Now, I do know that Bigelow's people, such as Eric Davis, they believe that from what they observed, that they can develop a sort of technology. And so it's possible Pandolfi believed the same thing and has gone further than they have in development. Who knows? I mean, it seems like To the Stars is very confident that from some of this these observations and data that they've collected thus far, that they can use some of this to develop actual technology. And that's one of the main goals of To the Stars. Whether or not they can do that, we'll see.
Well, let's then focus a little bit in this remaining time on Robert Bigelow. He seems to hold a lot of the cards of this undisclosed process. First of all, because he won the government bid. He owns Skinwalker. He has supposedly some pieces of UFOs that have crashed and has... he said he had to build a whole new section of his warehouse, maybe to house things that were radioactive. I don't know. But what is the inside story, as far as you know, with Robert Bigelow and what he's developing?
Bigelow Aerospace, his company, is a big, big deal now. And that's a factor. It wasn't as big of a deal early on as it is now. Essentially, this is a funny story. What Bigelow did was... he decided, I want to get into space. He started going to different meetings. He went to this meeting where, you know, somebody at NASA was kind of trying to get somebody to help fund this program that was going to get mothballed. Nobody did. So he bought it and he decided, okay, now I'm going to go out in the desert and find a place and build this big company to develop this technology, which is these inflatable habitats. So just on his own, he decided to do this, and he had the money to do it. Now he's developed that company kind of like an Elon Musk story or a Bezos story. And now this is a big deal. He's got an inflatable on the ISS, one of his inflatables. I do a lot of writing for NASA, and I get to visit different NASA facilities. And everyone has some sort of Bigelow display. Many of them are pretty big. Mostly about his inflatables, his ideas for a moon base. So NASA is really partnered up with Bigelow. And so he's very focused on those programs. Although his lead scientist with Skinwalker Ranch, Colin Kelleher, the same guy who wrote the book with George Knapp, is still working for him and is still involved with To the Stars.
But the other thing about Bigelow, if you, I'm sure you saw the 60 Minutes last year, is mm-hmm. he is a pro ET, not believer, but this is, he says they are here, and who knows what kind of experiences he had. I think his parents or grandparents had one, but he for sure knows that there are ETs visiting this planet. That is not a doubt in his mind, and there is some kind of agenda along those lines that he seems very connected to.
He is connected, and you're exactly right. He does believe 100% that he's also very, very close with George Knapp and a lot of the people who worked for him. So you're right. He has no doubt in his mind that aliens exist and they have been visiting our planet currently and for many years. And it seems as though he's invested in trying to discover proof of that, but also just like these other guys, like these other scientists. And there's been many scientists throughout history that were similar. He also wants to observe the phenomena to glean any technology he can so he can develop that and use that to benefit his corporation and, you know, like the To the Stars guy feels. If we're able to build a craft that can safely take people, you know, to the other side of the planet in an hour, you know, we're going to build, it's going to be a technology that's helpful to the world. And it's also something that's going to make a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing that I have issue with. If he got money from the government to investigate whatever technology or maybe some of this parts from these UFOs that were given to him, I think that's what it said. If he's developing technology to benefit his business, doesn't that really belong to the American people who gave him money? You know, we're the people, you know, the government, we the people gave Bigelow money. So whatever he developed from that, it should be a property of the United States and its people.
That's a great point that you make. And that information, now that information, whatever information was achieved, is still in the government's hand. The Pentagon has that. In fact, all of the paperwork, whatever investigation and research they've done, OSAP and ATIP, Luis Elizondo's group, we have no idea. Mm-hmm. We only know of a couple cases that they looked into, but we don't have any reports on any of this. So whatever data or information the government was able to achieve, they have not shared that. And Luis Elizondo even says there's a lot of it. And there's better stuff than you've seen so far.
A lot of what? When you say a lot of what, you say a lot of it.
A lot of data, a lot of investigations that they did. So research and information that we don't have. The only thing we do have was the leaked document through George Knapp. That was a report that Knapp said was written by the government for the government. I personally have talked to Elizondo, and he confirmed that, yes, that is the case. Mm-hmm. About the Nimitz incident I mm-hmm. mentioned earlier,
right.
The report's pretty fascinating. It, mm-hmm. it describes one of the most incredible events, and you know, the pilots and their interactions and speculation about what could have occurred. This document even speculates that perhaps the craft that these guys chased, these jet fighters for the Navy, they chased for a minute, could have come out of a larger craft that was underwater in the ocean, because they did see something in the water there. I mean, and for a government, you know, document, military generated and produced document, to say something like that, or that's the first time we've had something, you know.
It's the first time, but you know, I think, and I believe there are probably thousands of video footage in the Pentagon's vaults of F-15s chasing craft across the sky. I mean, the Stevensville incident, and there's so many. I would say there's thousands of that footage, the stuff that was taken from Gordon Cooper when he was there at that base. I mean, you know, there's a whole history of this, and we're just being given really little crumbs. And if we think that's incredible, wait till we get the real stuff that obviously is in vaults. Don't you think so?
Well, here's the hard part, and John Alexander speaks to this, and he's in a great position to speak to this and know, which is that you know, on the one hand, we all think that and complain about the government and government agencies being incompetent. It's literally a joke. I mean, that, you know, that people use, oh, you know, run it like the government or something. And at the same time, you think that they're able to have this huge conspiracy where they're holding all of this information. I think what we've seen over the years is a lot of incompetence. And that's what I think even he calls it, is a conspiracy of incompetence, in that records and data gets lost or destroyed for good. I mean, if you're, I think this has happened where, let's say you're someone in command, something strange happens. You don't want the negative publicity or people making fun and the goofiness. So you just destroy it. You just lose the records. And that's, we don't have any indication that there's been an organized, you know, group that has coalesced and held all of this information. And perhaps Nick Pope speaks to this and others. That's on purpose. Perhaps it's better that the government not do this because then, you know, public citizens would have access. So
Well,
where would the best place for all of this information to be where no one could get it is in the private sector. So for instance, a contracted government corporation that perhaps there's a corporation out there that has a department, Lockheed Martin. With Area 51, that would make sense that they're the ones who are actually the keeper of the secrets. But it doesn't, with all of the, when you chase the tale and the stories, there's so much just human failings that you come across when it comes to data and data, you know, integrity or records that
I think you're
I.
on some level you're right, but I do think, and not to get into conspiracies too much, there is a level of government or deep state who was behind the Kennedy assassination with secrets and other secrets, whatever's at Area 51, that is very organized, very together, and very deceptive or secretive. And there's another level that is incompetent that we see in the post office and whatever. That's another level of government. So there's levels and levels, but I do think there seems to be in this collective community of UFO researchers seem to point to a level of secrecy that has it very together. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but the thing is how it doesn't, there's no level of the government that seems entirely capable of something like that. And so that's why if there are secret keepers like that, I would guess that, and it would make more sense. And we know Louise has talked about this a bit, but Nick Pope has talked about this, where you hide your best secrets in the public sector with corporations who are not subject to FOIA
Well,
or anything like
yeah.
that.
I
So
mean, that may be true, but just to wrap up, as far as Robert Bigelow, what was he given that you know by the government to investigate? What was the actual piece of material?
well, the material that they obtained, we don't know a whole lot about how they obtained it. I don't believe that it was, they're the ones who obtained it, from what I understand themselves.
Oh, I see.
So,
Obtained, what was it that you think they obtained, though?
well, we don't know for sure. I think that we've gotten a little bit more insight. It might be similar to the arts parts, if you remember that, the material. Linda Howe had done some
Yes, with
research
the
into it.
benzene, right?
Yeah, like bismuth and
Right,
magnesium,
bismuth, right.
different small layers. It might be something like that. You know, they say that they're looking for, and I think this was somewhat insightful. They wrote a little bit, they've written some little bit about the type of materials they're looking for. And they're looking for materials that kind of, they even said, manipulate space time. So that kind of alludes to that if they think they have something substantial, that they believe they have some sort of material that they believe can do that. So that's pretty significant and interesting. But they have kind of slowed down and they're like, we're going to be more careful about what we share until we have something of substance to share, which is probably good. They're not going to share their speculation about what they've discovered. They're going to share the results. And we probably will get that sort of information this year. Interesting enough, Lee Spiegel is working on a documentary with James Fox. James Fox has created some of the best ones out there, Out of the Blue,
yes,
I Know What I Saw.
He's great, yes, yes.
And Lee just dropped a bomb recently on my podcast just the other day saying that they also have material, or at least they interviewed someone who runs a lab that is very credible, that has significant resources, that has material that they believe is anomalous. And information about this will be in their documentary that's coming out in the spring.
Well, Jacques Vallée's also talked about slag, certain slags from ships, and investigating the analysis of that. So, what do you think will come out this year? What's your ideas?
It's really hard to say. I think that whatever it is, it's going to be really interesting. I think that we're going to have more information about the government interface that To the Stars has kind of worked on. We may have even more discussion within mainstream media, Politico, and maybe even New York Times about this topic and serious movement or progress. Of course, the mainstream is way behind people like us who pay attention to this stuff on a regular basis, but at least it'll be moving them, I think, in the right direction, which lends an opportunity for all of us, because then there's more eyes on what's going on. And I think we all have to up our game in distributing information and doing it in a credible way, so that in order to really have a big impact. So I think it'll be beneficial to the community overall. And there could be some major bombs. There could be the beginning. I think if a material comes out, To the Star says, look, we have substantial evidence that this is a extraterrestrial technology, then that will start a big conversation that will go on for probably a long time. But it'll be a big conversation.
It's exciting.
Such as what? Like that asteroid that, they believed had life from Mars on it. That is not a closed question. Some scientists still believe that there are microbes on that asteroid. And that, of course, the president spoke to it, Bill Clinton, at the time, and that was a major story and continues to be a story.
And the other asteroid that came from interstellar space, the Oumuamua asteroid, that could have been a ship, some people are saying, right?
Well, and, you know, I think that is an indicator, just like Terry Star or this other star that was observed that has some weird dimming and the scientists who wrote up that paper and the scientists who wrote up the Oumuamua paper and a scientist who recently spoke at SETI are all very going to the extraterrestrial hypothesis, saying that one answer to this astronomical mystery could be intelligent extraterrestrial civilizations. And I think that's extremely significant because it shows that mainstream scientists are now more open to going there, which is shocking. We really, again, have not had that before, at least in my lifetime.
No, I think we're at a real big crossroads and breakthrough within the UFO research community. And I think it's a great time for all of us. Don't you think so?
I agree. I 100% agree. George Knapp feels like, and he knows more about what's coming up. And so this is a good kind of pulse check for me. He is just so elated and excited. He's just like, it's amazing that all of this is coming out in my lifetime. I didn't think any of this information would ever come out.
But also thank you for following the story and being a sort of bridge to the public for this information.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I feel very lucky to be in this position to be able to do it.
So tell us a little bit about what's coming up for you and how to contact you and get more about what you're investigating.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm up to is writing stories. You know, there's some really cool stuff coming up. So I've been really writing a lot about Project Blue Book, this new television show that's about Dr. J. Allen Hynek. I wrote a preview for Den of Geek that people can check out. OpenMinds.tv. I usually put links to that stuff. And also, I'm all over every social media. So you can just Google me and find me. But, you know, I think this is really important. It does deviate from facts somewhat, but I've interviewed, you know, the one of the actors and the main writer and creator, and I think they make some good arguments in that we believe in this stuff. We want to represent what really went on, but we also have to dramatize and fit this into a half hour shows. So you can't stick to all of the facts, but history has written articles about the actual factual instances. And at least with Malarkey, one of the main actors, he was floored to know that all of this was going on. And I think the general public is going to be floored to know that the Air Force looked into UFOs, and unlike what they told us, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that this was all malarkey, pun intended, I guess. But that, you know, Hynek believed and discovered there's a big mystery here, and I think that the public will be taken to that point with this show. I think it's going to open up a lot of minds and eyes, and it's going to be really helpful as well.
We'll have some open minds there. But the J. Allen Hynek story, I think, is most interesting because he started off as a skeptic, you know, as an astronomer. And then as he got deeper into this stuff, he said, wow, you know, there is something going on there. And of course, created the whole close encounters categories and became a real central figure, a pioneer in UFO research. So,
Exactly.
and then you're doing the UFO
Oh,
Congress
yeah,
as
and a couple other
well.
things.
Oh, go
I
ahead.
always forget. Yeah, there's the UFO Congress. I'll be at AlienCon again. That's where I always get to see you. So hopefully we'll see you there in Los Angeles this summer. UFO Congress will be September 4th through 8th. We're going to have a lot of these major players that I just discussed are going to be at our conference because this is really important stuff. So we're going to have Jeremy Corbell, who made this documentary with Lazar and on Skinwalker, George Knapp, Luis Elizondo. These are people who've told us they're already going to be there, and a lot of other great people. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow, there's a television show that I helped create, which is on the CW called Roswell Mystery Decoded. And it's essentially kind of just discussing Roswell and bringing people up to speed in before their Roswell, New Mexico television series starts on the CW. So that's on CW tomorrow night, this Roswell show. Ryan Sprague is the host of the show, a good friend and contributor to Open Mind. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Alejandro. I've been talking to Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds TV and the UFO Congress, and just a great investigator. I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for listening tonight. Okay. So thanks, Alejandro.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm glad we got into some really deep discussion about what's going on. And, you know, it's still a mystery, isn't it?
It is. It's totally a mystery. But like you said, and I think, you know, not everybody gets it, that these are really exciting times right now. There's some really unique things going on. And 2018 was an extraordinary year. And I think that this year will also be pretty important for people like us who are covering this stuff.
Where do I begin? A left mansion, it's like a spacecraft landed in my backyard. With Alan on a camel and my man Bashar. 10 rabbis, a physicist, guru, and a genius. A woman who can teach you how to grow your penis. I'm a romper, Jay-Z, channeling true love. Oh, reality's boring. We're starting a new one. Hearts popped open. Dalai Lama, rock your soul with my tantric chakras. Now say om with Deepak Chopra. Natasha's so dope, who needs Oprah? Shaman Steven is high as elves. NSA can't stop my elves. Fairies landed, whole world's dusted. Hugging undercovers butt naked in public. Government's bugging, but they're so corny. Back to the craft first, starborn orgy. What? It's realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention? JJ Hertok, Keys of Enoch. Open up doors, teleport to Montauk. Navy ships disappear for battling. Duncan Cameron starts time traveling. Nassim Harriman, electron spin. Word I am word cell channeling. Paulo, masculine, feminine. Marianne Williamson, tears to triumph. Jade goddesses lift weights with their vaginas. Till there's a tantric holy glow. Jody Sirota's a UFO. From Sedona to DC, Washington disclose ETs. David Icke is like Adam and Eve. Meet me down a caravan of dreams. For Alan Steinfeld's new realities. With cheese, what? It's new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin? A left mention, new realities. Changing the news, new realities. God's interviews, new realities. Where do I begin?